J.C. Corcoran Podcast.
Beastie Boys, of course, rap music has really come up the charts a lot. We're real concerned what these guys do on stage. They travel sometimes with a caged woman, put her in a cage as she strips during the concert as it goes on.
They brag about their escapades after. In fact, even in their contract, they require a rainbow assortment of condoms in their dressing rooms to make it more convenient.
That's good. At least
they're using the condoms.
Well, let me introduce...
LL Cool J.
Let me introduce.
Stands for Ladies Love.
Wait. Hold. Honor, right? You're sitting next to J.C. Corcoran, and J.C. is somebody that we met in St. Louis when we were there. Rock disc jockey, KSDFM, got the call letters right. St. Louis, Missouri, and I think he thinks you're way off base, but continue.
I don't think they like my initials, Sally. I mean, J.C. I mean,
right. Jesus Christ, good initials. We like it.
There we go.
We know he loves you, J.C.
What were you? We finished with Beastie Boys. I never wanted to start with them myself. But you finished with Beastie
Boys.
Yeah,
we were. LL Cool J, he promotes, to promote his sales, he was arrested and charged with public lewdness in Columbus, Georgia.
Which isn't difficult to do in Columbus, incidentally.
Well, when you're dry humping a couch to show everybody in the audience how you make love, I think that's
a good idea, we think.
They were afraid what I was going to say on TV. We got the minister saying dry humping here.
Because that's right. That is right.
Most of these tracks that they're talking about do not receive any radio airplay. They are obscure tracks.
On. What an old argument. Come
they
up
are
with
obscure.
Something
new. I'm
girls, sitting, girls, wait, girls didn't
I'm
play?
I'm sitting right next to you. You don't have to yell in my ear. Some of these tracks that we're talking about, obviously at some point, Suicide Solution by Ozzy Osbourne is bound to come up. These are tracks on albums that received little or no airplay and would probably have gone.
We haven't even talked about Ozzy.
And would probably have
oh,
gone.
They don't even sell them in America.
And
for
would
sure.
probably
these
have
guys
gone.
Are such fine, outstanding
one more,
citizens
one,
in America.
One more time.
Go ahead.
One more time.
They're such fine,
one
outstanding
more time.
Citizens in America.
One more time.
You really ought to give them awards for the wonderful.
You know,
job
show him your hand. You know, he's got notes written on the inside of his hand.
I got the name of some of the latest groups.
Look at this.
Explain
now,
this one.
Now, wait, give me a chance to explain the first one before both of you guys double teamed me here. All right. Now,
yes,
here he goes again.
Let JC answer.
So, like, every time I open my mouth, you just butt in. So, how about that?
We are saying something about rock, and the things that we're saying are. Not the lyrics of the major selling records, not the ones
that
are getting
here. Well, that's not true. That's what he says. Well, I picked up a Rolling Stone
magazine.
Yeah,
but all right, you're taking a few from
the top 50 albums, Jesse. We talk about 30 of the top 50. Or Sally.
Jesse was running for president.
Sally, yeah. Jesse,
don't the kids really. I don't think they think fantasy. I think they think magic. I don't think that they're saying, gee, I'll follow the Satanism of rock music. I mean, you have to have respect for the American public. You really do.
It is a tough world out there, and I would be much happier with a kid who was exposed to some of the rough aspects of life in America and life in this world and able to make up their own decision along
incest.
The way.
Yeah.
Look. You can get... Is it necessary for you to touch me and point at me?
How about incest?
You're right there.
Answer my question. Can we ask you a question?
Plus, there's two of you on top of it, you know? I mean,
Listen.
If you can... And don't pray for me. I don't need it, especially from you. What? You know, you guys are from Minneapolis. You guys are from Minneapolis, and you're ministers. Now, I thought that ministers are supposed to have a ministry. So, while you guys are out being on... You were on Entertainment Tonight last night. I mean, Joan Collins talking about her new gown and Pee Wee Herman talking about his new movie, and you guys in between. What are you doing on Entertainment Tonight? In the meantime, Minneapolis and St. Paul is turning into Sodom and Gomorrah because you guys aren't back there.
Our grandparents, I'm trying to put it into some kind of context, they thought that Cole Porter and George Gershwin's lyrics were outrageously racy. Couldn't sleep till I slept where I shouldn't sleep was banned. Today, that's a standard of old music, you know, if you'll forgive me. But I mean, Sally, I can go back and back and back with
Sally, when we look at those old kinescopes of Elvis Presley on his very first appearance on the Ed Sullivan Show, where they only shoot him from the waist up, we look at those things now, and 30 years later, we feel a little bit silly to think that this was something that was banned. And quite frankly, as has been proven time and time again, right on through the 60s with Louie Louie, and right up through movies, contemporary movies, The Last Temptation of Christ, the best way to increase something's popularity is to seal a ban over it.
I wish that was in the ban. We're not
going to ban anything.
Because I think we all agree that some of those are pretty awful.
We think the best job we can do is to educate parents. We say, Mom and Dad, if you believe that your kid should hear songs promoting oral sex with animals, hey, then you should buy your kid those albums.
Well, there's a tough decision for Mom and Dad, huh?
That's right.
Take a break. We'll be right back.
Now, why don't you disc jockey?
Just getting warmed up.
Happy to see you again.
Don't be nervous. Don't be rocky. You're a teenage guest disc jockey now.
And let me begin by wishing you a beautiful look.
Did that voice inside you say, I've heard it all before? It's like deja vu all over.
It's the 22nd of July, 2021, and you've got me in the flesh. Hi, it's JC, and I'm here, and I'm back, and it has been a bizarre couple of days. That's all I can tell you, both on the air and off. I'm not even sure where to start. Let's start with the technical part. If you were listening yesterday, and we did return with a podcast yesterday, although we got it posted maybe an hour or two late. But if you missed yesterday's, it's awfully good, by the way. We have Larry Hagman in an interview we did with him just before he died. But I don't think he knew he was going to die, by the way. But that's another story. But that was a really, really good podcast. We got it up late yesterday. Over the weekend, something happened to my system. It was either a hack or just some sort of a virus got into the whole thing and basically completely shut us down. And, you know, I did a podcast on Monday morning. And there was no way to post it. Couldn't get it posted because all of the mechanisms, all of the links to the internet and to things like Dropbox and things like that, all were just unavailable to us because of this virus that got into the system. So we're on the phone until about 1 o'clock in the morning, me and my technical wizard, Everett Marshall, who I've worked with many, many times before for, it's got to be like 30 plus years now, and nothing I do on the internet would be possible without Everett's input. And to say input, he's running the thing. I just talk. That's it. So anyhow, we finally got this thing going, and as I speak into this microphone right now, I'm hoping that you get it. All right? I'm hoping that, as was the case yesterday, we figured out a way to get around all of this, and we used an alternate system, and everything was go. So we got that. So we just forge ahead. Now, on the personal side, it gets really weird here, and I don't know why I did this. Just note to self, don't do this again. I had a series of doctor's appointments that were sort of behind, so I don't know what I was thinking. I said, well, you know what I'll do here? I'll just schedule them all in 1 week. And that was a real, real bad idea. I've been to two doctors already this week. I got a third one today. Now, this is one of these things that I hope you're not eating breakfast now as I tell you the story, but there's no real way to tell the story without being graphic. I've been thinking about it for hours and just said, well, maybe I can tell this without it being so, there's not. You got to just tell the story the way it is. So like many people in the entertainment industry that are of a certain age, especially people who covered a lot of concerts from very, very close to the stage, those big stage monitors and everything, and you're right in front of those columns. I did that for years and years and years. Every once in a while, I'll still pop up at something like that. And then the other thing, though, is wearing headphones. You have to wear headphones when you do a radio show. And over the course of time, you notice I'm having to turn the volume up just a little bit more, or in some cases, you know, mess with the equalization because I'm not getting enough mid-range or enough high-end or something like that. There is a famous radio guy, talk show host in Chicago, who has been yelling at the engineers at the radio station he works at because he thinks that they're messing with the headphone system, and they finally pushed him aside. I guess three or four of the engineers got together and got him in the corner and said, look, we're not doing anything. These accusations that we're messing with your audio feed are ridiculous. Why would we do that? We like you, but we're starting not to like you because you're pointing a finger at us and saying that there's something wrong with the system that you use to, you know, plug your headphones into. We're not doing anything. Here's the deal, dude. You're losing your hearing, okay? So consider this an intervention if you like. But, dude, you are losing your hearing. That is the problem. It's not anything with us. And I have to tell you, I've been hearing from a lot of my colleagues. You know, we're just all getting old, you know, and things are breaking down. We've lost a couple of people along the way. But of the people who have made it this far, almost everybody is dragging something around. If I told you, because I sort of went public last fall with the problems I was having with the plumbing, shall we say, and I started hearing from all of these guys, many of them in radio, who also are having issues with the old prostate, right? It's just something that happens as you start getting older. But I could give you names. You'd be astonished by the list of names of people, guys who have called me or contacted me in one way or another and said, oh, yeah, man, how you feeling? Because I just went through that and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, wow, I didn't realize. It was, you know, when they say the majority of American men will at some point in their lives have some sort of an issue down there. They're not kidding, but I digress because this is not a story about something below the belt. It is something above the neck. Over the course of the last, I don't know, 2 or 3 years, I just have noticed that I just can't hear stuff. I hear, but everything I hear sounds muffled. There's a history of hearing loss on my wife's side of the family, and in fact, quite a few people on this, her side of the family, and I saw most of them recently because we were in St. Louis a couple of weeks ago for a few weeks because of a death in the family, and I started asking questions about everybody, or to everybody, about their various hearing aids. Where'd you get yours? How much did you pay? Do you like them? Do you not like them? Blah, blah, blah. And so I finally figured, well, this has all got to start somewhere. It's got to start with whether or not, in fact, I am losing my hearing. Even though I know I am, it's like you want some sort of, authentic test or something like that, that is going to be the final analysis of this whole thing. And I had a hearing test maybe 20 years ago, and they said my hearing was fine. So, you know, I've been through this before, and they just play a bunch of tones. It takes about an hour, and you try to listen to stuff. And then at the end, the audiologist says, okay, either, no, your hearing is fine, or just a little bit deteriorated, or, yeah, no, you've got serious problems here, and we're going to have to start talking about fitting you with some hearing aids, all right? Not the end of the world. But you start to think about it, of all the things that can go wrong with somebody, as you get into your, you know, golden years, wah, wah. Somehow it sounded hipper when David Bowie sang it. But again, I digress. So on Monday, I go in to see the audiologist, and the audiologist sits me down. We talk a little bit, and he looks in my ears. He looks in one ear, looks in the other ear, and says, we can't do this today. I'm like, why not? He says, you have so much crap in your ears. You have to have this stuff taken out professionally. And I'm thinking to myself, you're an audiologist. You don't do it? And he's like, no, I don't gotta mess with that stuff. I got computers here and little machines that make tones and sounds and stuff like that. I ain't going in your ears, man. Forget it. I'm like, well, where do I go to do this? Do I go to my doctor or whatever? He goes, well, actually, you can go to like urgent care or something like that. So I go driving down to urgent care. And the lady stops me out in front and goes, no, this is like an emergency room facility. Just go to Walgreens down the street. They'll do it. Like, okay, so now I'm on my third stop just trying to get all this taken care of. So I go in, and I got this older lady, and same thing. She looks in my ears and goes, ow, ow, my God, which is exactly what you want to hear from somebody, from some sort of technician, when they look inside your head. And apparently, and this is one of those difficult things to deal with because you do not have the capacity to look inside your own ear. So you just have to take the word of the person who's looking in there. But I've already had one person say, you know, get out of here, go somewhere else. And now I got another lady and she's looking in there and like she basically said, And again, this is where I hope you're not eating breakfast. She said, if you can imagine leaving a like when you spill some Coca-Cola on the table or on the counter, but you don't know that you've done that, but then you come back the next day or two and it's just like hardened brown stuff. She says, that's what you have in your ear and you have a lot of it. So she takes me down the aisle of Walgreens there and grabs this box of stuff off the shelf for $7.99 and says, here. And it's this thing where you've got to clean out your ears for 4 days with this liquid and this stuff and try to dissolve this stuff. And then I go back and I see her tomorrow on Friday, and then she sort of finishes it up. So I'm like, okay, you know, whatever you got to do. And she says to me, it's entirely possible that your hearing is fine. It's just that the mechanism that you have in that ear, deep down in that ear, is not allowing you to hear. So I'm like, so hold it. So I'm thinking to myself, I'm going to have to wear hearing aids for the rest of my life, but now I might not have to, because it's not that my hearing has degenerated into some sort of state where, you know, my hearing is going to be compromised. I just have a head full of dried Coca-Cola. Like, are you serious? So I've been pouring this stuff into both of my ears, but now tragedy has struck because my left ear has gotten so gunked up with this stuff that I have absolutely zero hearing now in my left ear. And I have tried everything. I stood in the shower yesterday and just took the wand and let the you know, this stream of warm water shoot directly down into my ear, which, as I think about it in retrospect, may not have been a very smart idea, but it seemed at the time like, oh, that'll be good. I'll basically clean out my ear, but I'm fearful that I may have done something wrong, but I'll find out for sure tomorrow. So basically, I'm doing the podcast today with the function of one ear, and it's hard. It's really hard when you're only hearing out of one ear. And of course, now when you're walking and things like that, it does affect your equilibrium. Now, keep in mind, all of that was on Monday. That was on Monday. I've already told you what a rotten week it's been from a technical standpoint because we couldn't get the podcast going. But, you know, I've had this personal thing going on. All right. So that was Monday. Now, remember when I told you I scheduled all these doctor's appointments in the same week? So yesterday I had to go see the dermatologist, and I'm having this pre-cancer stuff going on. This is where they, if you've ever gone through this process, you know exactly what I'm talking about. You go in there and they basically burn your face off with these machines, and it looks this morning as though I am one of those guys who they, you know, gets separated from his group on some sort of a hike through the desert, and they find him 2 weeks later, and he's dehydrated, and, you know, his face and all of his skin looks like a 50-year-old Naga hide couch that had a blanket over it in the basement, and you take the blanket off and go, oh my God, what happened to this thing? This is what my face looks like today. And does it hurt? It sure as hell does. And so while I'm dealing with the one ear not working, my face having been burned right off my head, in a few hours, I go in and I get another steroid shot directly into my spine. This is where they put your face down, and then they it's a pretty gruesome, very medieval process, but I have a lumbar disc that is not cooperating. It's causing pain in my leg and my knee, and I can't sleep on my left side. And even when I don't sleep on my left side, it still wakes me up about a half a dozen times in the middle of the night. So I had one of these a couple of weeks ago. Shot number two is coming up at 9:50 this morning, and I will have to now convalesce for about, well, really the next couple of days. And, oh, by the way, I can't be exposed to any sunlight because of the face thing. So tomorrow morning, you will be listening to a podcast being performed by somebody who's got one functioning ear, a face that looks like there was a leak in the microwave oven, and who's had a needle jammed directly into his spine with steroids and whatever else it is they shoot in you to try to, what is it? I don't know what it is. I don't care. I just want it to be over and to be able to walk like a normal person again. In the meantime, and you've heard me say this a million times, and I'm sure I'll say it another million before I start pushing up daisies, but These two teams could both be 161 games out of first place on the final weekend of the season, and it still beat each other's brains out. Yeah, the Cubs two nights ago with that big come-from-behind victory, they were down 6-1 and ended up winning it. And last night, the Cardinals turned the tables in what was one of the most fascinating games to watch. You know, I get tired of Ricky Horton at about, only 700 or 800 different levels. But he and Danny Mac made a really, really good point in the late innings last night. This is what baseball needs. While everybody's walking around saying, well, you know, we need to do the DH and we got to do this. We got to speed. We got to move the mound back. We got to lower the mound. We got to do this. We got to do it. Really, what you just got to do is have more plays. And you got to have the ball in play more often. And you got to have, like, close plays on the base paths and things like that. And that game last night had all of it. That was one of the most entertaining baseball games I've seen in a long time. And all MLB has to do is just look at last night's game, and they have all of their questions answered about how to quote-unquote fix the game of Major League Baseball. And Yachty last night, you'll remember that because of the big blow in the 10th inning, but Nolan Arenado last night, the guy's like a circus performer out there at third base. And there were some other really, really good plays last night, not the least of which was Harrison Bader. Got to get more offense. Oh, we'll say this. Bader is producing offensively a lot better in recent weeks. But, you know, I said at the beginning of the season, you got to get more offense out of the center field position. But, man, oh, man, you start looking at his the equivalent of like a plus minus. And he pulled one in last night that would have been a home run. And he's doing acrobatic stuff out there, too. So, you know, the Cubs are getting ready to sell off half their team, perhaps. We'll see. Cardinals seem to be, even though they're the same distance away from first place that the Cubs are, Cubs have all these guys whose contracts are up, so they got to get rid of them or they get nothing. The Cardinals look like they're still trying to improve the team and think that they can make a second-half run. We're going to get some guys back who have been on the injured list. And things, you know, you never know, could get interesting in the second half. But we shall see. Jeff Bezos says he and Richard Branson are not playing a game of whose is bigger. He said yesterday that what this all is about is figuring out a way to take industrial waste, garbage, if you will, that's been polluting the earth, and instead send it into outer space. I don't know, both of those guys seem pretty giddy about going into outer space and coming back in one piece. Sure looked like it was about their excitement, but you never know. Quote of the day comes from Kate Beckinsale, who's one of our better-looking female specimens. She says she's never been on an actual date. Here's the quote. I literally meet somebody, I get to know them at work, and then either marry them or get pregnant by them. End quote. A lot of people in entertainment have a clause in their contract rider. I know Diana Ross is one. I think Stevie Nicks at one point did have this clause in there. Robert Redford, when we were dealing with him making the movie The Natural in Buffalo back in the early 1980s, had one of these clauses. And it basically said that if you are in some way involved in the production of this movie, TV show, whatever it is, you are not allowed to speak to whatever star it is we're talking about, but you can't even make eye contact. So in 1985 at the American Music Awards, for some reason, the guys from Night Ranger presented Prince with Album of the Year. And they were, in fact, instructed not to talk to him or acknowledge him at all. So they made it a point to badger him all night. They went in the opposite direction, but they said they made it, met up with him about 20 years later, and everything about it was cool. When I was a kid, and probably when you were too, you probably had the game Mousetrap. Now, I know there was a way that you were supposed to play the game, and then you would put the little ball in there, and it would go through the mousetrap and everything like that, but we never played the game. All we wanted to do was build the big mousetrap and then put the ball in there and watch the whole thing come down. Well, it turns out they're making Mousetrap into a TV show. And you guessed it, it's Fox. You hear stories about this all the time. And in fact, people who don't understand the phenomenon trying to use it against victims of crimes. Hayden Panettiere is spending time with the ex-boyfriend who did time for abusing her. Stephen Colbert getting back into the Comedy Central business. He is the producer and co-creator of a late show starring Charlemagne the God. Also, Jon Stewart has released a trailer for a new show that he's got coming out on Comedy Central at the, I think it's in the fall sometime. Bill O'Reilly trying to block his sexual harassment accuser from appearing on television on The View. And I hate to say this, but I think we're just going to have to say goodbye to Eric Clapton. And, you know, nobody loves Eric Clapton's music and Cream and everything more than me. In 1989, I did a 15-minute interview with him that is amongst the greatest moments of my professional broadcast career, not necessarily because I got to Eric Clapton, but because the quality of the interview was so good, I got him to talk about all sorts of stuff. And at the end of the 15 minutes, I was like, well, Eric, thank you very much. He goes, thank you, JC. I really enjoyed that. But, you know, in recent years, we've heard these stories about some really, really racially insensitive stuff that he's been responsible for. And now in the last year or so, he's emerged as an anti-vaxxer. And get this, he now says he won't play at venues that require proof of vaccination. I think we just have to say goodbye to Eric Clapton because he's losing it. All right, birthdays today. Selena Gomez. Wow, only 29? Yikes. David Spade, 57. Willem Dafoe, 66. Don Henley of the Eagles, 74. Albert Brooks, comedic genius, 74. Danny Glover, 75. And Bob Dole is 98. Jeffrey Dahmer, arrested in Milwaukee on this date 30 years ago today. I got friends in crawl spaces. Yeah, they found 11 skulls, 3 headless torsos sealed in a vat, plus other body parts in his apartment. And it's not Don and Eric, but it was close. 18 years ago today, 2003, Saddam Hussein's sons Uday and Qusay killed in a massive 6-hour U.S. military raid on a home in Iraq. Summer Olympics finally here with the opening ceremony tomorrow night. So the question is, do you care? 1,000 Americans polled, and only 37% said they're very or somewhat interested in the Olympics this year. Everybody else said they're either not very interested or they couldn't care less. People who do like the Olympics were asked to name the events they're most excited for. Swimming is number one, artistic gymnastics, diving, beach volleyball, and basketball. The rest of the top 10, rhythmic gymnastics, boxing, track and field, baseball, and synchronized swimming. The poll also looked at the events we don't care anything about, the ones we're least likely to watch: handball, water polo, field hockey, judo, ping pong, sailing, rugby, the pentathlon, canoeing, and badminton. I come out of Facebook jail next Tuesday. Turns out Facebook's algorithm kept punishing a gardening group because they were using the word hoe. They also disabled posts that would say things like kill them all, drown them in soapy water, and Japanese beetles are jerks. My favorite thing is what, in fact, happened to me, that I end up getting put in Facebook jail for posting a meme that I got from Facebook. If somebody can explain the logic in that to me, I'll write you a check for a dollar. A script for the Sex and the City reboot has leaked. Also leaking, the bladders of the 3 returning stars. Good morning, everybody. I apologize if you have heard this story before, because I have told it. But back in 1989, I got a call from the movie studio in California, and they said, we have Lethal Weapon 2. We'd like to fly you to Vancouver, British Columbia, where you will see the movie on Friday night, and then on Saturday interview Danny Glover and Mel Gibson and Rene Russo and people like that. And I said, sure, why not? Was I interested in Lethal Weapon 2? Hell no. I was interested in going to Vancouver, British Columbia, place I'd never been before. Okay, so fine. A couple of days before the trip, they call me back and they're like, would you be interested in maybe staying overnight one more night? I'm like, sure, why? We have this other movie. We're going to tack on to it just as an aside, and you see another movie and do some more interviews. Oh, what's the movie? Oh, it's this movie Rob Reiner has made, and Billy Crystal's in it and all that. I'm like, oh, that's really, really good. And so we get out there, and sure enough, we see Lethal Weapon 2 on Friday night, get up on Saturday, do the interviews. That's where Mel Gibson was talking about the fact that when he was in college, he had a roommate that claimed he was affected by the phases of the moon. It would like turn into a werewolf and stuff like that. That's before we knew Mel was crazy. And then on Saturday night, we get on the bus, and we don't know much about this movie because it was just added at the sort of the last minute. They're like, well, Rob Reiner makes really funny movies. So we go into this movie. We sit down. 2 hours later, we walk out. We are all doubled up and laughing our asses off. Remember the first time you saw When Harry Met Sally? You were still talking about it like a week later because there was so much great stuff in it. And we were walking out of the theater and everybody's laughing and talking. And, you know, most of the time you come walking out of a movie theater with a bunch of critics, it's dead silent. And the people from the movie studios are watching us really, really closely, trying to get some sort of an idea as to what the sort of collective response was to the new movie. And in this case, they were looking around like, what, what, what? They had no idea what they had in the movie When Harry Met Sally. They had no idea that here it is, what, 30 years later, and people still getting excited when the movie's going to be on television for some reason. And yes, Meg Ryan was adorable. And I got a chance to interview Bruno Kirby and also Carrie Fisher. Pretty damned good weekend. And it was 15 years ago yesterday that a second storm hit the St. Louis area. The first one hit Busch Stadium at about 6:30 before a Cardinal game. And it was at the very beginning of people being able to shoot video on their cell phones. And a lot of us will remember the video of those giant trash cans underneath, sort of in the bowels of Busch Stadium, just floating along and smacking into people. And a lot of people got serious hail damage to their homes. The power was knocked out for almost everybody. That was the one that hit St. Louis. And just a couple of nights later, a similar storm with straight line winds, no tornadoes, hit Metro East. And everybody who was still standing after the first storm that hit St. Louis went down over on the Illinois side. It started my wonderful relationship with the power company. Okay, that's it. The J.C. Corcoran podcast for Thursday, the 22nd of July, 2021, is in the can. Like I said, sorry for the disruptions earlier in the week, but we were screwed. And in fact, we're still using an alternate system to get the podcast to you. So we still have work to do before we get this thing completely up and running. But when you get a virus, sometimes the results can be devastating. And it took us over 3 days to get around what had happened to the entire system here. But it looks like we're at least pointed in the right direction. We'll talk to you again tomorrow in the morning. Let everybody know that we're back up and running here at jcontheline.com. We publish Monday through Friday at 7 a.m. and we're available on multiple platforms, including all the Apple places that you get podcasts and all that sort of stuff. I'll go through that maybe sometime tomorrow. That's it. Enjoy your day. Talk to you in the morning. In the meantime, we've beaten this one to death. Have a good one. See you later. Bye.
The J.C. Corcoran Podcast.